think John the Baptist is lucky that he didn't have to make his proclamation in English. Because all flesh shall see the salvation of God is not easy to say. It's like, you know, seashells by the seashore kind of thing. John the Baptist cries out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord." We see in the first reading that God, in his love and compassion for his people Israel, did exactly that for their return to Jerusalem. It's always interesting that God never seems to ask us to do anything that he himself doesn't first do. And that prophetic utterance, that call of the people back to Jerusalem to fill the valleys, to level the mountains, so that the path for those who are in exile, the path for those that are far away, would be quick and straight, and that they would be able to enter into Jerusalem to find their peace and their justice. So in the gospel today, we see the opposite reality, the invitation for the people of God to make a way for God to come to his people, that we would do what he has done. And I think we take it for granted these days, but if we were to drive from here to the Legends in Western Wyandotte County, do you have any idea how many bridges that you cross? How many hills the sides have been cut open so that the road can pass through? I mean, just getting from here just to I-70, if you take 18th Street, or not 18th Street, but 10th Street, Rainbow, and you go across, even just doing that, literally there are bridges and mountains that have been cut open so that you can pass through. Then you've got to cross the Kansas River. There are many bridges and hills and things that have been cut open so that you can pass quickly and safely. You take it for granted. If you ever get out to Lawrence and you want to try something exciting, and you're going to go to Topeka, get off the turnpike and then get on, whether it's at 40 or 24, I forget for which one's on the south side of the Kansas River, and take that highway to Topeka. And you're going up and down hills and up and down hills and blind curves, and then you're back and forth, and all of a sudden big tractor trailer coming the other way. You're like, whoa, slow way down and kind of like take the corner nice and easy. And you think to yourself, this was the U.S. highway that brought people back and forth between Lawrence and Topeka for years. I couldn't imagine commuting between Topeka and Lawrence taking that highway every day. And yet people don't even think about it now with I-70. Jump on it and you fly like the wind. Because bridges have been built. Because hillsides have been cut into to prepare a way for us to go. I love how concrete and tangible that image is to grasp for us. Just get in your car and drive, and you can understand what John the Baptist is asking the people to do for God. If we want God to come quickly, then we prepare that way. We take the mountains, we throw them into the valleys, and create a beautiful highway without obstacle, without hindrance, so that God can come to us. So the question I have to ask, my brothers and sisters, is what hindrances, what obstacles remain in your life that you could work on during this Advent season? I got a text message, one of those group texts the other day from five people who are very, you know, taking it seriously this Advent, and they're saying, Father, what are you doing to prepare for Jesus? Because we were talking about it the other day, and we were discussing it, and so we wanted to know what you were doing to prepare for Jesus. And I said, I'll get back to you. I said, I was really embarrassed when you said that, because I've been so getting ready for the Archbishop's visitation that I haven't even thought about Jesus' visitation. You know, the report that I have to create for the Archbishop and the dinner and getting people lined up to be there and to be present, to talk with him and to do all of these things. I said, I haven't even thought about Jesus coming. Well, now that the bishop's done, I've started thinking about it. One thing I thought would probably be good for me to do is to sit down and to write a personal letter to each of my siblings. You know, after living for 44 years and sharing most of my life with them, you know, things happen. And, you know, there are a lot of assumptions that are made, like, well, you know, they forgave me for that. You know, they don't bring it up or anything like that. And did you ever say you're sorry? Well, no, but I don't, you know, I think they've forgiven me. Or things that maybe they had done to me would, well, you know, I forgive them. Did you let them know that they were forgiven? Or did you just assume that they know that you forgive them? But a great present that would be, you know, to sit down and just actually write a personal letter. Not a text message. Not some kind of selfie video or some Snapchat thing or some blog post. Well, didn't you check my Facebook? I told you I was sorry. I'd put it up on my wall on my Facebook page. But actually sit down and actually write personal letters to my siblings as just a way of telling them that I love them, I forgive them, and that I'm sorry for anything that I've done to them. I think that would go a long way of preparing the way for Jesus to come to my heart and removing obstacles. Isn't it Jesus himself who says, if you go to the altar with your offering and your brother has something against you, leave your offering at the altar, go and reconcile with your brother, and then come back and offer your sacrifice. What else could we do, my brothers and sisters? What obstacles need to be removed? You know, confession is always a good thing about removing obstacles in our life. Don't know if you know this or not, but we have confession here at the parish. She's around 3:15 on Saturdays for about 30 minutes. But also each day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, during adoration before daily mass from like 4:25 to 5:25, I sit in the back with my purple stole on. And if you come in and you would like to go to confession, just tap me on the shoulder and I'm able to hear confessions each day during that time. You know, some of you who are here don't come up to receive communion. Do you know why you're not receiving communion? If you think about it, give me a call. Come into the office. Let's talk. Let's talk about the reasons why, and let's see if there's something that we can do to resolve that. Sometimes it's just a misunderstanding. I know people that have refrained from communion, and then you tell them something, they're like, oh my gosh, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I didn't know that. I could have been going to communion. Yeah, you could have, you know. Sometimes it's a little bit more work. Little things have to be resolved or things need to be brought into communion with the church. We can do that. We've got an app for that, you know. So my brothers and sisters, now is the time. Now is the time to look into our hearts, to look in that relationship, and to begin to figure out what it is that are standing in the way. You know, there might even be hobbies that we do or things that television programs, friendships, certain relationships that we're in that God is inviting us to take and to throw into the valley to fill up the valley, to prepare a way for Jesus to come here. Things to give up, to let go, things that separate us. I can't tell you what you need to do for Advent. You have to do a little homework yourself. You know better than I if there are any obstacles between you and Jesus. And the beautiful thing about this, my brothers and sisters, what will happen if you begin to remove those obstacles? What will Jesus do? Will he stand there looking at you, shaking his finger and saying, "Well, it's about time"? No, I don't think that's what Jesus will do. Not the Jesus that I know. How can I be so sure? Well, you know the same story that I do. God was walking through a town, planning to go to another village. And all of a sudden, he stopped and he looked up into a tree, and there was a short tax collector, chief tax collector, who humbly climbed a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. And God that day decided to change his plans. And he stopped and he looked at him and said, "Come down. I must stay with you today." Do you see how our Lord is, my brothers and sisters? Our God loves us so much that any act of humility on our part, any opening that we give him to come, he takes. He takes that opportunity because he knows how precious we are and his love for us. Do not think that if you make a humble effort to open a place for God to come, that he's going to pass by and say, "Maybe next year, maybe next time. I got other plans. I'm busy. I'm glad you finally got yourself straightened out, but you know." That's not our Jesus. That is not our God. I encourage you, it is worth it. Take the time to open up that place humbly in your life, and you will see that God will change his plans to be drawn close to you. Amen.